Today in the Callahan podcast, well, he's back. Tom Brady's back in the Super Bowl. His 10th. Patrick Mahomes will be on the other sideline in a great Super Bowl matchup. Kudos to the NFL for powering through COVID and giving us a pretty good playoffs and a damn good Super Bowl. We will break it down and analyze it with our football guy, Mute Man. And it's a miracle. It is a miracle. They're opening up the economies. They're opening up restaurants and gyms and schools because their guy is now in the White House. We'll talk about the scumbags in these blue states who destroyed lives for the last 8 months. And now we're past that. We're moving on. All right. We'll get into all that on today's Callahan podcast. Brought to you by DCU. Do you love your car but hate your car payment? No problem. Refinance your car today with DCU and they can help lower your monthly payment, lower your interest rate, or both. Applying is easy and their loan experts will help you find the loan term and the payment that fits into your budget. Get out of that high rate loan and get the interest rate and the payment you deserve from DCU. Learn more and apply today at dcu.org/refinance. Insured by NCUA. Membership required. All right, Colin, let's do this.
This is the Jerry Callahan Podcast.
All right, the facts, the stats, the numbers, the facts and figures, Mute, are endless on trying to put Tom Brady's career accomplishments in context. I don't even know where to begin, but here's one. Aaron Rodgers is one of the five best quarterbacks of all time. I would say he's about to win his third MVP. Would you agree?
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers is 37 years old. He just completed his 16th season in the NFL. I think that would be 13 as a starter. He's been to one Super Bowl. One, correct?
That is correct.
One Super Bowl. Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Bart Starr combined won four Super Bowls. Tom Brady, as we know, has won six. He's about to go to his 10th. He's been a starter, a full-time player for 19 years, I believe. And I'm stealing this from Jeff Howe from The Athletic. His percentage of going to the Super Bowl is higher than Michael Jordan's shooting percentage. He goes to the Super Bowl more than half the time.
I retweeted somebody last night. Listen, 18% of all Super Bowls have featured Tom Brady.
And they started the Super Bowl long before he was born. I realized the debate about him as the greatest quarterback ever ended a long time ago. And we've moved on a long time ago. But I think, and I saw a few people say this, God knows we've said it here and for years on the radio and on this podcast, but he's no longer compared to Peyton Manning and Joe Montana. He's long since moved on to Michael Jordan and Babe Ruth and Wayne Gretzky and Bobby Orr. And he is the greatest team sport athlete in the history of our country. I don't even know how you argue that when you're looking at what he's accomplished and how the sport is designed to stop people from doing what he's doing.
Right. I mean, back in the 80s when the Cowboys and the Niners were able to build just wagons because they didn't have the salary cap ramifications and it was guaranteed that they were going to face each other in the championship game for those couple years. That was a little easier. But in today's day and age to literally pick up, go to a whole new team, no preseason, no training camp, no time to really kind of practice with these guys. I mean, and then to be able to just go out and go to the Super Bowl, like, ho-hum, here's just another year. And then I find the irony that the teams he plays, he's got to go through Drew Brees, he's got to go through Aaron Rodgers, and does both of those, and now is back in the Super Bowl for the 10th time. It's awesome. It's an awesome thing to see. There's no other way to describe how he did that. And with everything that just happened into the season, it's one of those things that they'll talk about for many years because I can't believe he did it.
And no one's going to do it. I know Mahomes is on the fast track. Mahomes is the best player in the NFL and he's going against the best player ever. This all kinds of stories when you get to Super Bowl. I guess people won't be going to the Super Bowl like they usually do because the teams aren't even going. I mean, Tampa's there; they're playing at home. But I don't believe the Chiefs are going to go to like the Friday before the Super Bowl. There's no Super Bowl week, media week, media day. All that stuff is off, or at least scaled down. I'm glad the Super Bowl's in Florida, because Florida is still America. They don't have to open up Tampa. Tampa's been open up since May, which is a good thing. And we'll get to the other states that are opening up by the biggest bunch of scumbags on planet Earth. The governors and mayors, if you haven't noticed.
Gray area there, Jerry.
If you haven't noticed, the governors and mayors across the country in these blue states like Massachusetts and Michigan and New York are the biggest bunch of scum I've ever seen. They're opening up now. Their guy's in. He's they get their guy elected. They've ruined lots of lives and ruined many, many small businesses. But that's over now. We're moving on. But we're going to get to that. We have to first try to put what Brady's done in some kind of perspective. By the way, for our new national audience, this is Scott Mutrin, Mute. We call him Mute. And he's the reason Tom Brady's in the NFL. He was cut loose by the Patriots in 2000, or is it 99? When would
it was 99.
Yeah, to make room for Tom Brady.
Right.
They kept four quarterbacks. Brady was the fourth. He was behind Michael Bishop when he started up.
Right.
I'm sure Belichick knew pretty early that Brady was destined to be a starter, if not a star. He took over for Drew Bledsoe in the third week of the second season, which is why among all his awards and accolades, there's no rookie of the year, because he was sitting behind Tom Brady and who else? John Freeze and Michael.
I think it was Damon Heward.
Damon Heward, yeah,
who was there, and then 2000 and Bishop.
And
he wasn't even in consideration. Like, there were people in New England talking about how Michael Bishop was going to replace Drew Bledsoe, which was one of the funniest things. One of my memories of thinking about that, because they loved Michael Bishop's athleticism and arm strength. Remember, he came in and threw a Hail Mary in 99 or 2000? Oh, yeah. And that quickly faded. That was a funny pipe
dream. We knew about the Brady Six. ESPN kind of immortalized them. The six who went ahead of Brady, Sturgeon Wynn and Mark Bulger and Chad Pennington and a bunch of other. Who's the
Gio, goat? Gio Carmani.
Gio Carmani is a goat.
He's a goat herding yogi. Yeah.
Goat herding yogi.
Some guy just those
guys. And, again, Jeff Howe at The Athletic tweeted out the list of 30 quarterbacks that he's beaten. Or I don't know, 20 something that he's beaten in playoff games, and it's amazing the people he's beaten that you don't remember, that you don't even think of. Steve McNair, the late Steve McNair, Jake Delhomme, Byron Leftwich, Garrard. Who's Garrard?
His now offensive coordinator, right?
Tim Tebow, the Brock Osweiler. I mean, just a list of and the latest, of course, Aaron Rodgers, who is just a great, great quarterback. And by the way, had a better game than Tom Brady yesterday.
He did have a great game. Those interceptions by Brady were not. I mean, the last one you could probably concede as like a punt, and the other ones were. The first one was a bad throw. I just got it too far upfield, and then the second one was like, what? But I still don't understand the end of the half. Well, getting back to what you were talking about on beating quarterbacks, Jerry, think about this. He could legitimately beat two quarterbacks that either retire or not even playing on the same team next year, because there's talk that Rodgers may not be back in Green Bay.
I don't believe that. Drew
Brees is going to retire. He's ending careers now. Instead of just beating teams, it's not good enough. He's going to end careers.
He's done that his whole career, though, Mute. He's ruined teams. I mean, look at the Atlanta Falcons. He ruined the Falcons franchise. He ruined Dan Quinn. He ruined, I don't know if he ruined Matt Ryan, but he's ruined teams. And maybe you're right. Maybe he ruined the Saints. God knows. I think Brees is walking away. But here's what he did yesterday. Just add this to the list. Here's what he did yesterday. Here's what he did this postseason, this 2020 postseason. He's beaten three division winners. He's beaten three teams who are playing at home, three road games. He's beaten the two best teams in the NFC, and he's beaten two of the top seven quarterbacks of all time. And as you point out, he knocked out Drew Brees. He's done. He had a terrible game. And then Rodgers was griping about a few things yesterday and talking about, his future. And I guess they drafted a quarterback in the first round. That was a little odd. Maybe it lit a fire under him. He had a great year, but he's not leaving Green Bay. I mean, he's pissed. He's a little disappointed in the way it ended, I'm sure. How would that work? They're going to trade him?
Well, I think it's his contract may be up.
No, he's got 3 years left.
Really?
They said on the broadcast yesterday.
Well, he could still, there's talk of him retiring because he could if he wanted to.
But that's not, he just had his best season.
The trade. I mean, who knows nowadays? That's what everybody does.
He is out there in the media world this year more than he ever was before.
Right.
Like he's having fun this year a little bit.
Right. And let's not underestimate like NFL contracts. They're not like baseball ones where they're guaranteed. They're year to year. So there's a possibility.
Can we stop sulking for Aaron Rodgers when I'm not going to say he could have scored a touchdown, but he could have put him on at least the 3 yard line.
Well, I think he has
made
a right.
The decision for
I think
the
he
coach
has a
yesterday.
Right to be pissed though, because I mean, two things. It's like one at the end of the half, what are they doing? Like you can't let a guy run a go route and that's wide open where you do it. Just, that was very New York Jets esque. Like that just can't happen. That's just poor coaching and on the defensive side of the ball. And then LaFleur just made some puzzling decisions. I still, even if he could have run that one in on third down, I guarantee Rodgers is thinking it's four down territory. It's 2 minutes left in the game. You need 8 points. Like the field goal doesn't do anything. It still makes it. It doesn't change anything. The Tampa Bay's pinned inside their own 10. There's no reason to kick a field goal there. None.
It was absolutely foolish. I think he choked. I think he was. I think that decision will live in infamy in Green Bay, certainly. And maybe, probably they don't win anyway. But it made no sense. And Rodgers, I know he was complaining about it. We can play it. He was not happy with the decision to kick a field goal with 2:05 left. It was just stupid, Mute. You need a touchdown regardless. You cut it to 5. So what? Even if you don't get it and you know, you pin Brady at the 3 or the 2, you still need a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. So, it made no sense.
And in both scenarios, the defense need to make a stop.
Right.
So it's, you don't make it, that you got to make a stop right there. And if you kick the field goal
And to be 100% honest, it's a lot different playing offense when you're on your own 10-yard line than when you're getting it at your own 30. There's a lot more room there. Absolutely. You know what I mean? So when they're pinned back, they're going to definitely run it. They're going to be hesitant to drop back and throw it. Because look what Tampa does. They get the kickoff first play. They throw it and get 9 yards, which is basically a first down.
Yeah, and that was over.
They would never do that. They would not run that same play from their 10-yard line.
That's a good point. But here's the problem.
That he did that.
Here's the problem I have with Rodgers. Clearly, LaFleur blew it. Matt LaFleur, the head coach, and everyone's been praising him and coach of the year, candidate and all that. But he choked. He blew it. There's no way you kick a field goal in that situation. It was mind-boggling. But I'm not sure Rodgers is the guy to complain, because I think he choked a little bit too. He runs on third down. Mm-hmm. I think he gets in. You look at it again. I was waiting for Troy Aikman and
Joe Buck.
Joe Buck to point this out, show us. I don't know why they didn't, because it was such a big play. You could see the right side wide open. Rodgers can run even at 37. He's got good wheels. He's not, Josh Allen, but he can get in there. And if he doesn't, he's at the 2 or the 1.
And it's not like you need time.
And then there's no decision. Even Matt LaFleur says we're going for it here. So Rodgers is grousing about it a little bit. But that is
Rodgers can be a little bitchy. Like he has moments where he can be.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, you can, he can be prickly in certain situations. And even I think he's definitely felt that they were going for it on fourth down regardless. So I don't even think he didn't run it. But I would definitely, he said it in his post game presser. And because there's no logic that tells you that they're not going for it.
Right.
I mean, no one's kicking a field goal there.
They asked Bruce Arians about it after. He says, "Oh no, that was the right decision. Just cover, covering for his
coaching brethren."
Well, what did he have at that point in time, though? He had 3 incompletions in a row there. So, from a momentum standpoint, maybe you can make an argument there to some capacity.
Yeah, they were in the red zone.
He shouldn't have thrown the last one. Not only should he have run, but the guy wasn't. I think it was to Adams again. But the last throw was stupid. Aaron Rodgers is a great, great player.
Right.
And I mean, this wasn't, you know, the worst choke job in history, but he panicked on the last throw when he should have run. He can blame his coach, and he should, but he knows he screwed up on third down. Can we hear from Rodgers? Because he does. He sounds like he would like to say a lot more about LaFleur and that stupid decision, but he can't because it's his fault too.
Aaron, did you agree with the decision to kick it there on fourth down?
I didn't have a decision on that one. That wasn't my decision, but I understand the thinking above 2 minutes with all of our timeouts, but yeah, that wasn't my decision.
And he says, I don't know what the next question. He says, you know, he thought it was a four down situation.
Right.
But here's what it came down to, Mute. The Buccaneers, last play of the half, obviously.
Right.
They go for the touchdown when everyone thought they were going to go for the field goal. Green Bay, 2 minutes left in the game, goes for the field goal when everyone thought they should have gone for the touchdown. So, I mean, the fact is the Buccaneers, Brady, showed some balls, didn't punt, didn't kick a field goal, went for the end zone, and that guy Kevin King is just the worst. Let's Scotty Miller behind him and for a touchdown.
And Brady was wearing that guy out.
Ended up being the difference, Mute. That's the difference in the game. And then when Green Bay has a chance to go for the end zone with, you know, the best player in the NFL, the MVP, they kick a field goal to cut it from 8-5. It just was senseless. And I know LaFleur is a smart guy, but I think the pressure, the situation got to him right there. And it's one of those things you're going to have trouble living down unless you come back next year and go to win the Super Bowl. People are always going to remember that. God knows who's the Barstool girl calling in?
Liz Gonzalez, yes.
Liz Gonzalez has gone viral, but she's a Packer and Aaron Rodgers fan, and she put out a video where she cries. And I assume every Packer fan feels that way, and they're going to simplify it. It's going to come down to, you know, that play, that field goal, that decision, and they're never going to forget what Pete Carroll throwing the ball on, throwing the ball instead of giving it to Marshawn Lynch, and it's not the Super Bowl, but it's a pretty big deal. And if Aaron Rodgers retires, maybe not this year, but is he going to retire with one Super Bowl? I mean, can he really be top five all time with one Super Bowl?
If we asked this question, if we did like the traditional sports radio question on Thursday before these games, we should have said, who has the most to lose this weekend? And it would have been Aaron Rodgers.
No question.
Right? He's the only one who had really anything to lose in that situation out of the four quarterbacks.
Yeah. And, you know, he was in the red zone. He was only 2 for 9. And granted, two of them were touchdowns and there were drops there. So that's one that sticks. But there's something to be said about what Jerry's saying with LaFleur, that it's a learning experience for young coaches. Kevin Stefanski had it last week versus the Chiefs and some of their stuff. But I think it also sends a message, like, you, when you kick a field goal there, it's almost like throwing the white flag up. Like, you gotta let your best player, is Aaron Rodgers. You have to let him win or lose the game for you. I mean, why would you trust your defense at any point in time? You win and lose with your best guys. You don't give that chance to another group. I don't understand that. If I have a Hall of Fame MVP quarterback, I'm giving him every chance to go win the football game because that's my guy. I'd live and die with that guy. I'm not going to let anybody else factor in winning and losing the game. And I just, it makes no sense that they did that. But they had some other questionable stuff that they did throughout the game, like you mentioned at the end of the half. It's just, sometimes young coaches, the moment gets too big and they get outside of what they know it was best, and it gets to them. And you see it with, you know, Andy Reid handled it well. And Arians is an older, experienced coach, but I think, you know, a lot goes with the Brady, a credit to him and how he did some stuff.
And you're afraid, they're just afraid to be bold. I mean, Reid last week on the fourth and one with Chad Henne throwing the ball. And, you know, he just, after, matter of fact, he says, of course, it's a throwing down. He says, I'm from BU. Every down's a throwing down. And he just laughs about it. But, of course, he's not afraid of, like, his reputation. You know, he won the Super Bowl last year. He's confident that, you know, they were going to convert the first down. And he'll, you know, probably win a Super Bowl again this year. And it's like, yeah, whatever. You're worried about how you're going to look if you go for it and it backfires. Because you're going to get criticized either way. But I'm looking at the scoreboard. I'm saying, wait a second. they still need a touchdown. What the hell is he thinking? But here's what else you
can do. But here's the funny thing. Like, you talk Andy Reid, like, let's not forget, like, any Philly fans that are listening, like, Andy Reid was a disaster on the sidelines. Like, he was known for terrible challenges, calling bad timeouts. Like, don't forget, Philly fans before, like, they're, everyone thinks he's a genius now, but at the beginning of his career, he did a lot of dumb shit that, like, Philly,
well, he also
mind about.
He also won a lot of games and went to the conference championship a lot. But we'll get to Andy Reid and the Chiefs, the favorite in the Super Bowl. But before we do, the last play, and again, the Packers can't bitch because they had their chance. But the penalty on Kevin King, who stinks and just killed the team. When you see in real time, you say they can't call. Of course, the flag was so late, and you say they can't call that now. They've been letting this go all game. Right. But they show the replay, and he grabbed the jersey, and he did, hold or whatever it was, interfere. I guess I would have called it a hold. I think they called it interference. And they bitched about it, and Aaron Rodgers bitched about it. But, you know, because they hadn't been calling those penalties the whole game, but it was a penalty clearly. And you just look at him and say, you know, save it. You guys had your chance. You had your chance. You didn't go for it. You didn't show any balls. So nobody feels bad for you. And here's the most amazing thing at the end of that game, Mute, is we said last week, I said definitively, what Breeze did against the Bucks. I said, that's one thing you will never see Brady do. Just throw three picks and just melt in the second half of a conference championship game. What does Brady do after having a great first half for 202 yards in the first half? Goes out and throws three picks in four throws, I believe.
Yes.
Which was amazing to see. In a row. One, yeah. I mean, obviously one was tipped off Mike Evans' hands, but that was Brady's fault. I think it was too high. Agreed. One was just a terrible throw up the right sideline. He turned the ball over, gave the Packers a chance, and they win in the end, and no one remembers and just says Brady's amazing and Brady's going to win the Super Bowl. But I couldn't believe some of the throws Brady made after that great first half.
Right. It's like he wanted to make it a little more challenging. He was like, this isn't fun enough. Like, come on, Green Bay, give us a game. Here, I'll give you a couple of interceptions to get back into it. But yeah, the one to Mike Evans was definitely too high. That's tipped. I mean, he made a good effort. As a quarterback, you kind of, even when you sail those, you almost wish your guys wouldn't put their arms up because you just know it's any tip ball in that situation. You usually pick. That's what you hate. But it's, I mean, and then the first one was just, I thought, like I said earlier, was an overthrow. And then the last one to Evans, that was just he was under some pressure and just hucked it up there.
Three picks, three touchdowns, very un-Brady-like line, three touchdowns, three picks. He had a 73 rating. Aaron Rodgers, three touchdowns, one pick, had a 101 QB rating. Rodgers, again, was better, but Brady's going to the Super Bowl. It's been 1,640 days since Max Kellerman said Brady was going over the cliff. Brady was a bum. And to his credit, Max Kellerman tweeted out, Brady's had a Hall of Fame career since the day that he said Brady's about to go over the cliff. And I love this question all weekend from Boston people, Patriot fans, is, gee, who do you think Belichick's rooting for? I mean, is that even a question? Ooh. Belichick was rooting his ass off for Green Bay. He does not want Brady to go to a Super Bowl. I mean, he's human.
Does this tarnish, like, in people's eyes, in your eyes, does this tarnish Belichick's, stature because Brady's able to go do it?
Of course it does. Let me answer this way, Mute.
Okay.
Tom Brady's the greatest, and we've already gone over this, the greatest player in sports history, greatest athlete in team sports history.
Right.
What did the Patriots get for him? That would be nothing. Nothing.
That was the silence. The silence is what they got for him, right?
Yeah, they got something for Gronk. At least they got something for Gronk. They got nothing for Tom Brady, the greatest player ever who's going to a Super Bowl. So, of course, it makes Belichick look bad. Of course, Belichick doesn't want Brady.
Does he lose stature as the greatest coach of all time now? Because everyone's just like, well, it's Brady that did it.
No, clearly
that becomes a storyline.
I don't know what you. I don't know what
you have another crappy season next year, right?
I don't know what you thought, but I've been saying for years. Of course, Brady's more important. It's not personal. It's just the way it is. The QB is always more important. There've been, lousy coaches or mediocre coaches or forgettable coaches who've won Super Bowls because of the quarterback. Barry Switzer won. I think Belichick without Brady wins two Super Bowls. That's pretty. That's a pretty impressive accomplishment.
Yeah,
let the reason they won six is because they had the greatest quarterback ever, and there's no player, no position more important in sports than the quarterback.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Most important, toughest position on all of them. It's the pinnacle position of team sports. But let's not forget, after the first three Super Bowls, the talk is it's all great Belichick and the defense, and Tom Brady's a system quarterback. Right, he's a system quarterback. That narrative was out there for a very long time. So now that you know he's had the Hall of Fame second half of his career, does Belichick kind of lose some of that because it's you look back and you're like, you know, Brady had a lot more to do with that than they were giving him credit for in those first three Super Bowls.
Well, I don't. We'll see how Brady does, you know, on February 7th at home in Tampa. But I mean, the quarterback's always more important. The quarterback is just essential. You need a great quarterback to win. And the problem Brady has right now is Kansas City has a spectacular quarterback, yes. The best in the game. A guy who was, did you hear any mention of the concussion from Nance and Romo? Did they mention the concussion? I mean, we talked about it last week. We saw him staggering around. We knew, I said this last week, they would find a way to let him play, to pass the protocol, whatever it is, because he's too important, he's too great. But the average concussion, the player to get concussed is out for 19 days. They miss games almost all the time when they get concussed. Not only did Mahomes play and play well, but no one even seemed to question it, did they?
No, that no way. Why would you do that? You're ruining the storyline of everything. If Mahomes is playing, like, no offense, Chad Henne did a good job, but the Chad Henne versus Josh Allen doesn't exactly get people going in the right direction.
Nobody really mentioned it all week. It was like
expecting him to play.
Yeah,
everybody just knew
it was happening.
I just got a wee bit of a concussion. He'll be back.
Forbidden word. Not a big deal.
Yeah. Which is fine. It was too important, and you know he had to play, and he looked fine, and his turf toe was fine, and he's so damn good, and you think it's impossible to imagine anyone doing what Brady's done, going to 10 Super Bowls, winning 6 Super Bowls, but I mean Mahomes is 25, and he's about to win. He could win his second next week. I mean, he could do what Brady did. He could win 6. Absolutely. I mean, he's so good. He's got good coaching. He's got great weapons. I mean, he's not going anywhere. I could see him winning, I don't know, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, they keep getting guys, you know, that speed guys in there, like Hardman, the guy who drops the punt, actually comes and has, you know, a great run, it was a lateral, wasn't pass. But they got guys that can run, and with Hill and Kelsey right now is just such a difference maker. He had such a big year this year, and 13 catches yesterday. I mean, they are tough to stop. The only thing that stops the Chiefs, honestly, is either them getting bored or them turning the football over. That's really it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they lost two, but one was not, doesn't even count because they didn't play anybody. They didn't play Mahomes or Kelsey. Kelsey's amazing. He's not a great blocker. If you watch him, he's not Gronk.
He blocker at all. He doesn't block. I mean, he's not Gronk. So
he's a spectacular receiver.
Yeah. He is. You know? Yeah.
And the numbers he puts up are incredible. But I was watching the second half of the game yesterday thinking, here's the way Brady's got the best chances. Hill or Kelsey or, you know, God knows Mahomes has to get hurt. I mean, they lost their left tackle, Eric Fisher, and they believe it's an Achilles. They believe he's out. But those guys survived. They're healthy, which is why Kansas City opened as a 3.5-point favorite. Are you ready to make your pick, Mute, or do you want to wait on that?
I mean, I've said it since the beginning, the Chiefs. You can't stop them. I mean, the Fisher injury is a big injury. That's the only way that if you get pressure on Mahomes, that can cause some issues. But Andy Reid does such a good job of changing his misdirection and his ability to make up for stuff like that by getting the ball out quick and getting some run game and some other stretching defenses. Like, he's just too good right now and in his zone. I can't see anyone beating the Chiefs.
They run all these shovel passes to the tight end and others to Kelsey, and they showed it early on. Romo and Nance showed them running. They have different names. Smoked Sausage was one, and they had different names for the different shovel passes. Yeah. And then they actually run it to Kelsey, And Nance was just in disbelief going, "I amazing play." I go, "You just showed it to us." Why can't every team, those seem so easy, so simple. Right. High school teams do it. Why didn't Josh Allen have a few shovel passes to open things up for his offense? Why is it so innovative for Andy Reid to run that? It doesn't seem that complicated.
Yeah, well, some coaches, especially some of the younger coaches, don't want to overcomplicate it. And Reid just throws so much onto his team's plate because he feels that they can handle it. Not just with the plays, but with the motions. And they stretch defenses because of their speed. They stretch them vertically. So that's already an issue. And then they start doing all the side-to-side stuff. So the whole field's open for them. It's borderline impossible to defend them for four quarters.
You're our football guy. I'll include Colin Aiden in this. I got a quick trivia question for you. See if you can handle. Ready? Who's the Kansas City Chiefs punter?
Oh, I could care less.
Wow, that's a great kickers. Question. Yeah, I had no idea.
I bet he holds too.
Yes, he holds. Oh, I hope he holds because otherwise he doesn't get to play. That was the most amazing factoid. I believe it was from Romo. They haven't punted since the first half of the Super Bowl. That would be postseason. So there's two games this year and then the second half last year. It's been three games essentially since they've punted in the postseason. This is playing the best teams in your conference or in the Super Bowl last year, which they won. His name is Dustin Colquitt. I know you know him, but
I know the name. Yeah, it's a very famous kicking family. What a great guy. He's stealing money.
By the way, he's 38 years old. He's been around for a while, but he doesn't get to play. It just doesn't seem right. He doesn't get to play because these guys don't punt. They're like that. Remember that high school team that never punts down the South?
Yeah.
I forget where it is, but they're dominant and they don't even have a punter. They don't ever punt. They don't practice punts. They don't have punts, which I was going to say.
Which I love.
I mean,
punting's overrated. Kickers too.
You know what? Matt LaFleur should feel that way too. That kicker is overrated and just go for it. You got Aaron Rodgers. But all right, so they're three. I think they're 3 or 3.5 point favorites now. The over under is 57.5. They played week 12. Kansas City won, beat Tampa. That's the game. Tyreek Hill had 200 yards receiving in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Brady versus Mahomes. This will be the fifth time they're playing. They're 2-2.
Yep.
Going into this and going into their fifth meeting, I think it's people like you, like level-headed, football guys are going to say the Chiefs are too good. They got too many weapons. They can't be stopped.
Nope.
But then you're going to have the
storyline, the Disney
romance of it all. You're going to have the big picture and say Brady is magical. I mean, he is in the freaking Super Bowl in his first season in the NFC. And there's, this all the controversy with the Green Bay game, that'll die down in a day or two. And people just start looking and going, how the hell is that possible? How did a 43.5-year-old lead his team on the road three times against division champions, three times beat Rodgers, beat Brees, and end up in his 10th Super Bowl? It feels like bigger forces are at work here. And you're not going to buy into that, are you? Mute. You're not going to get swept.
No, I mean it's a great story, and they're playing in their home barn. It would be probably better, but the Super Bowl, even though it is being played in Tampa, it's so commercialized that all those tickets are given away. It's not like you would have the home field advantage like you get in the championship games, where it's all the local fans that are there. So even if it was at 100% capacity and it's only at 25,000,
you wouldn't
get that home field advantage either way. But I mean, it's a nice story. There's a bunch of great storylines. That's the good thing. They'll be able to fill the net, all the time with all these different storylines. And Brady coming to do this he's an extremely positive guy. You just listen to the things he says. He praises his teammates all the time. And I think he's enjoying a little of this FU to Bill Belichick to say, we don't need to be complete D-bags to everyone. We can be positive. We don't have to criticize everything in that type of level. I think this is a nice, I think he's definitely relishing that. Let's not mistake that. He was not happy his last year here, and he had gotten tired of that old act. And I think he's justified now in his eyes that his method, the TB12 method, is the way.
Yeah, but the problem is, you're right, he's too positive. He's not publicly, outwardly vindictive. I'm sure below the surface he is, and he's enjoying this, relishing this. He'll let other people, he'll let other people write that story. He'll continue to smile. By the way, I think we have to wait on one potential game changer, is that he did the entire post game festivities without a mask. All his teammates were masked up, his coaches, media. Brady had no mask. He went almost into the stands to hug his son. And when he was doing that, I would say, please don't be Alex. I was trying to figure out who he was hugging.
Right.
I'm like, please don't be Alex Guerrero. That would have creeped me out if he ran up in the stands to hug Guerrero. But it was not. It was his son, Jack. No mask. I think Brady, you know, if this, I think.
Probably get a fine. I wouldn't be surprised.
No.
Data Wisconsin gives him a fine.
I think it's much more serious than that. Well, mute. I'm thinking suspension. Just one game, just the Super Bowl, suspended for not wearing a mask. Will there be an admonishment from the commissioner saying, we're not going to stand for that anymore. You got to wear your mask. By the way, the Boston Globe.
There will be people out there that will be complaining about it without a doubt.
No
that
question.
It was irresponsible.
It was the first thing my wife said as the game was ending was, why isn't he wearing a mask, right? I know you're laughing about it, and I know we're calling these people Karens and all that good stuff, but it was so – there has to be a level of arrogance to that. Like, everybody else is wearing one, and one man who is the center of attention decides not to.
Well, they said the same thing last week when he was playing catch with Breeze's kids.
Why are you wearing a mask?
All right, yeah.
Why aren't you wearing? Why isn't he wearing? Why Drew Brees and Tom Brady are not wearing masks? What's wrong with them?
And people are like, do you know they get tested all the time?
That's not right. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. As Drew Brees' kids are like knee dropping on top of each other. Like, I mean, but people were outraged that they weren't wearing masks. It was a poor.
The kids. One of his sons was wearing a mask. The other wasn't. But whatever. The I asked the question on Twitter. I'm looking at. I got like a million responses on who's gonna. I predict the Globe will call for him to be punished for this offense, because the Globe over the weekend, Boston Globe and New York Times, were saying it's time to wear two masks. And
yes,
my response to that is, my response to that is, what do you mean time? I've been wearing two masks, you know, since May. I'm wearing three now, sometimes four, because I take the virus very seriously. But I guarantee you this, mute and trust me when I tell you, I talked to Brady, you know, every Monday for 18, 19 years, whatever it was.
Right.
I guarantee you he thinks he cannot get it. He believes all the things.
He doesn't believe he gets sunburned.
He believes
He doesn't get sunburned.
He thinks he knows how not to get hurt. He thinks the stretching, the pliability, and the electrolytes and everything else, he's immune to injury, at least since. And you know what? He sort of is.
The mind is an incredible tool, Barry.
I guarantee you he thinks he is not immune to it, but he knows how to not get it. And one way is what he drinks, what he eats, how much he sleeps, all that. He does not think he's in danger of getting the virus, whether he's masked up or, you know, hugging people. Or
Colin is right. There is an arrogance to
correct.
It.
I like no it. I think he's doing. I think screw he knows it. He's doing everything in his power to contain the situation. I just don't know why in that situation he felt compelled to, like, I don't know, to if what Jerry's saying is accurate. Like, why does he have to show that off to the world in that moment? I don't know.
He believes his way is the right way. He's above it.
Has he been seen anywhere with a mask? Because I haven't seen him with a mask anywhere.
I believe I've seen him in some press conferences have a mask on and then put it down, I believe.
He didn't have it. He wasn't wearing it post-game yesterday, why would you?
He advertised the hell out of the Under Armour masks on his Instagram channel every other freaking tweet or whatever.
Stockholder, man. It's all about personal equity. Let's be smart. We've got to make some money.
That would have been an opportunity to wear the mask last night. That's
good. You know, I said I was rooting for the Bills. I said the NFL couldn't go wrong. These four teams, great quarterbacks.
I wanted the
Bills. But this is a dream for Goodell, and you know, I hate Goodell, but this is a dream for the NFL. When you think about it, I mean, I love watching Josh Allen play, but he's not a really compelling personality. You got the greatest ever versus the greatest now, and you got the country, and it's almost like the election. I know everyone thinks I make everything about, you know, politics. Well, I'm going to, because 80 million people didn't vote for Biden. 80 million people voted against Trump. 74 voted for Trump. Mm-hmm. In this case, everyone loves, you know, watching Mahomes, but it's about Brady. I think much of the country, probably, I don't know, three-fourths or 80% of the country is rooting against Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah. All of New York rooting against him. It'll be a New York paper that will get him. That will be the masked people that do it without a doubt.
But he is such a you know historic figure that there'll be hundreds of millions, tens of millions of people just saying, I can't stand to watch him win another one. So they'll root for the Chiefs. And then there are those, I think I'm going to root for Brady for a couple reasons, just because it's historic and it's so odd. And I root for the big story and it's such a big story and Mahomes will win plenty more. But Chiefs, as far as I could tell, there's scumbags on every team, right? Mute. Every team's got their scumbags.
Yep.
I would say no scumbag is a better player, a more impactful player than Tyreek Hill. And right behind him on that list would be Frank Clark. Chiefs have two total dirtbags, and they're in starring roles, especially
Antonio Brown's a good guy.
Good point. Well, he didn't play. Okay, you got me there.
He didn't play, and thankfully, because he opened up Scotty Miller to be the star.
Yeah, I hear you. But he's point. Still on the team and has been a big factor for that offense.
That's a good point. So he's back Super Bowl.
Got a great scumbag effect.
All right. So if you're basing who you're rooting for on the scumbag effect, you can pick either one. Right. You're right. Okay. Antonio Brown sucks too. So, but Tyreek Hill is so good, and he's just such a difference maker. And you just know what a piece of crap he is. It's hard to see him just change the game. You know, they just throw it to him in the flat and he gets 70 yards and you go, that's that. Anytime they really have to go to break the game open, they'll find a way to get him some space. When you combine Mahomes and Andy Reid with that guy, he was just so much faster and quicker and more explosive than anyone else. If they get down, you feel like they'll just find a way to get him in space and just change the game.
Yeah, it's either him or Kelsey. So those are the guys that they use. And when they need them most, they're always there because it's really tough to defend both of them. It's just there's too much space in the field. And there's great. I mean, like we talked about, the storylines are just great coming into this. Like you're going to talk about maybe you get the scumbag effect storyline. That's great. Like if someone goes that angle, I'm sure that'll happen. But who would have thought? And this is what I wanted to ask you. It's like in July, there is significant thought that they weren't going to play. And now you've played the entire season. You've had, issues where games were moved back and everything was changed around, but still done. You played a complete schedule. You get through all of them, and now you've gotten to the Super Bowl. With everything that everyone wanted to shut down and all the risks and all the people that were going to get hurt by this. The product was going to be terrible. The viewership was going to be down. And it just proved everything wrong. You're going to get.
I tweeted about this yesterday. I've been talking about for weeks. Mute. Consider this, and you were right there, front row center, with the Boston College team, which had an incredible record of preventing the virus. They, you point out, they had one guy test positive before the season, and during the season, they had nothing. Right.
Right. One at the end of the last week, he wasn't close to the team, but there were like one on each side after 9,000 tests. It was ridiculous numbers.
But I talked about this. I do these commentaries. Cullinane knows he has to edit them for podcast one. I'm not even sure who hears them, but I did this one last week because it's just phenomenal. There are now 268 NFL games in the books. Not one was postponed. Not one was delayed or canceled. At the same time, the baseball missed over 100 games each team. Basketball moved to a bubble in Orlando. Nobody even paid attention. Disney closed. The Olympics got postponed. A-Rod and J-Lo's wedding got postponed. I mean, everything got affected. Every sport.
That's a real tragedy.
Except the NFL. They just powered through it. And I hope somebody does this, goes back and looks at, and I'm going to just tell you where you can find it if you really want to do your research. New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, there'll be someone saying they should not play. Call it all off. Hell, the New York Times mute wants to name UConn the national championship.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Because UConn was afraid to play because they suck and they canceled their season. One of three Division One teams to cancel the season. And the New York Times wants to honor them because that was so brave.
Unbelievable. Well, even though they couldn't get a schedule because nobody wanted to play them, but that's besides the point. And they stink. They're probably the worst football team in college football, but that's another story. But you, Jerry, you don't need to go to CNN or any of those. You can just go to some of the local writers and some of the national writers for the NFL that were saying that they shouldn't play. There was a huge contingent of those guys that said prominent writers were saying that they shouldn't be playing football. And they were never cheering for it when guys get a positive test. They need to shut this down. You need to stop doing this. It's a health risk. Everyone's going to die if you do this. There was a ton of guys that do like right from the NFL that is their livelihood that did not think and did not want NFL games.
Right. We pointed that out whenever we saw it. These were sports writers rooting against the NFL, rooting against football.
Against their
and, product. You know, they're ready. Not often we sing the praises of Goodell, but let's give them credit. I mean, they powered through. They ignored the Karens, and they played. And some guys got the virus and missed a game. You know, some guys were in the room, like the Denver Broncos. The quarterback room all had to go into quarantine. They had no quarterback. You know, Cam Newton missed a game for the Patriots. So what? They just like college. You know, Trevor Lawrence missed a game. Nick Saban missed a game. So what? They played. They powered through just like it were, you know, the flu Browns or injury.
Receivers versus the Jets. Like, they did it. They got through it. They put a protocol in. They stuck to it. I mean, you know, the NHL did it. They had a bubble, and they did a good job. They got all those games in after, you know, they powered through it. But, you know, Goodell was able to do it on a national level, not in just the bubble location. Everyone played in their home stadiums, right? And everyone traveled. They had travel protocols. They got through it. There were, you know, some teams had to suffer through it because they didn't follow protocol and missed some players like the Broncos and, you know, not having a quarterback, but that was because they didn't follow certain restrictions. But games got played, games got done. The product was good. It's not
and
like
now, and now what?
Football.
Now what?
Now you make it to the Super Bowl.
You got a great now you have a great Super Bowl matchup.
It could have
You had two great conference championship matchups. I mean, obviously the game, the NFC wasn't a great game, but you had two stars and, you know, legends and all that. And it was, the ratings will be great. Mm-hmm. I didn't miss a snap. I was on my couch like everyone else for 8 hours and it was great. Now we have a great Super Bowl matchup that everyone's going to watch and enjoy. And if they listened to whatever, the New York Times or the they wouldn't have done this, and they did it, and they won. The NFL won. The Karens lost, and that's a good thing. Although, let's wait and see if Brady was at, you know, he's a super spreader yesterday, perhaps. Wouldn't it be wild? Wouldn't this be wild if Brady got the fire?
It's a 2-week break anyways, right? Or do they play? Are they playing the Super Bowl? It's 2 weeks. Two weeks. So it doesn't matter.
I didn't see this last night, but I just found it. It's somebody from the New York Daily News tweeted out last night, Rinaldi should have asked Tom Brady why he's the only Bucs player, coach, or staffer who doesn't have to wear a mask.
See?
Like, Tom Rinaldi in that interview is going to stop what he's doing.
Excuse me, Tom. You're now at your 10th Super Bowl, and you're you know, with a different organization. But the real important question that everyone wants to know right now is, why aren't you wearing a mask?
Who said that, Cullinane?
Pat Leonard, New York Daily News. Unfortunately, it wasn't the person at the New York Times who what was the headline of that article over the weekend? I saw that too, which was like, two masks is the new one mask.
The Globe does everything the Times does, but they both had that tweet which says, is it time to wear two masks?
Yeah. I'm just happy like Jerry's able to go out now, like some of the restrictions are back.
Right, no more curfew
on the town. Look out Charlestown, Jerry's coming out.
I haven't been out past 9:30 in like 8-9 months, let's get to that. I'm just one last thought, because, you know, I think these this way. I think of the worst case scenario. Wouldn't that be the wildest thing? And just so it would be just so it would wrap up this whole crazy year, because we're moving on to a whole new year. But if Brady got the virus like this week,
oh my God,
and we all had to wait to see whether he was going to get better. Did he quarantine? It would just be the biggest story in sports history.
It would actually be perfect. It would be perfect for everybody, because then everyone that's so upset about the non-mask things gets their moment to stand and puff their chest out and see Tom Brady's not above the law. He's not above the virus. He can get it. People, wear your second mask. Damn it.
No, here's why. He's not going to get it, because he has the best electrolytes. I'm telling you, you want great electrolytes, you go to TB12. They cost like 10 times more than the ones you get at Walmart, but they're amazing, and they will not allow him to get the virus. And if you think I'm kidding, you don't know Tom Brady. You don't know Tom Brady. He thinks, I guarantee, in his quiet moments, he'll never say it to the media, or never, he probably don't even say it to like a teammate, but he does not think he needs a mask. He just thinks clean living makes all the difference. And you know what? It's hard to hard to question him. It's working. Whatever he's doing.
Positive mental set does it, Jerry. Positive mindset is such a big factor.
I wouldn't know.
You will it and you believe it. It will happen. It will happen for you too someday.
You haven't had the virus, have you?
I have not.
No. You're a healthy guy too. You're not going to get it either. But anyway, I want to get to our whole new world. It's a whole new world order, and it is one of the most outrageous, ridiculous things that we've seen since, you know, the virus changed everything. What happened over the weekend? What's happening every minute of every day? It's made everybody's life a little different. And
you're talking about the Bernie Sanders memes that keep popping up on my phone every 5 minutes that I keep getting them. I'm so sick of those. Just the days of Doug.
You know what? I saw him in one, but really? The best part of the Bernie Sanders meme is they got a hold of the woman who sells those mittens, and she says the taxes in Vermont were so high she was put out of business. So Bernie put that woman out of business, the one who made those mittens. But I want to tell you about Shea Concrete, and then I want to talk about the New World Order. All right, there's a few homeowners and home builders. Did you know that Shea Concrete has a huge selection of precast concrete steps? Of course you did. Whether you're building a new home or need to replace an old staircase, Shea has great values with designs for any home available in concrete. You can customize with beautiful stone, granite, or brick. You can do this. Just sit at home, call them, get on the website, or go visit them. Pick out your staircase. They will do the rest. And the next thing you know, your house looks better. Your house is worth more. It's an investment. It's not an expense. It's an investment. A new staircase can dramatically upgrade the front entrance of your home. In most cases, they can remove the old stairs and have you walking up your new front steps within hours. Why not? Why not do this? You're going to improve your house. You know, the house is going to look better, and it's going to be worth more. Learn more about Shea's precast concrete steps at SheaConcrete.com. All right, mute. Here is what we predicted. I thought it would be after the election. It didn't. It wasn't after the election. It was after the inauguration. I want people to understand just how obnoxious. It's not obnoxious. Just how diabolical this is. All these blue states, which have been shut down since May, April, are now opening up one after another. Over the weekend, you saw it. Michigan, Illinois, Massachusetts, New York. Schools are opening. Businesses are opening. Curfews are lifted. Gyms are going to open. California now, the most locked down state, the most left wing, the most whacked out, crazy socialist state, is now opening up. And people, I see some people saying, oh, great. You know, the restaurants get to stay open and they're increasing capacity. And gyms, if this doesn't outrage you, then you are hopeless. If it doesn't outrage you, then you are not paying attention. There are so many people whose lives were ruined in the last 9-10 months. I've talked a lot about my friends who owned a gym. They owned it for 32 years. They were great gym owners, big part of the town. Everything they owned, everything they earned was invested in that business. They went bankrupt, personally bankrupt, professionally bankrupt. I'm out in the city all the time, running, walking. I mean, half the restaurants, I'm going to say estimate, you know, very scientific here in Boston, are gone. Gone. Someone's life savings was wrapped up in that. They're done. They're ruined. They're broke. They're out of business. This all happened for politics. This was not because of the virus. It was not a way to stop the spread. That is a lie. We have been lied to for 8-9 months. We know that now. There's when some of these states opened up last Thursday, mute, I think it was a new record for deaths in the country. We hit a new high for daily deaths. On that day, some of these states, Michigan, Illinois, New York, were opening up, relaxing the rules, getting rid of the curfews. And the virus was raging. Right. It has nothing to do with the virus. It was politics. They wanted chaos. They wanted crisis. It worked. They got rid of Trump. They got their guy in there. And the human carnage, the collateral damage, was irrelevant to these people. They are monsters. I know I go overboard sometimes, but Gretchen Whitmer, Andrew Cuomo, Charlie Baker, Gavin Newsom, these people are monsters. They are just vile human beings. You know people. Hell, you worked in the financial district. You know restaurants that are gone. We had a restaurant owner on down in your neighborhood. He had $300,000 invested, Chef Mike, in his restaurant. His life savings gone because of Charlie Baker and Charlie Baker's attempt to destroy. He destroyed businesses in an attempt to unseat a president he didn't like. If these people get reelected, I'm going to lose all hope for this country, because you are not paying attention if you don't realize just how vile, just how diabolical these governors and these mayors in these blue states are.
Yeah, and it worked. I mean, it worked.
Sure did.
They came back. The issue is like everyone's like the restrictions are coming off, but there's some places there's nothing to open. Okay, you can open open a restaurant in Boston. That's great, and there's people that are living there. But there's been a mass exodus of people coming down to the suburbs to move because they needed to get out of the city. But also, it's not the same traffic. There's not people working down there. Like, you miss all the lunch traffic. You miss all the socialization of that. So you may be opening restaurants, but that doesn't, if they're fortunate enough to have stayed afloat, that's great that they can open up, right? But it doesn't mean people are going to be coming in. It's not like you have tourists coming into downtown Boston right. to come do that. People aren't working there. They're still going to work remote because that's the way it is right now. Everyone found out that they can do that. So there's not going to be an influx of people coming into the city to do that. And it's going to be the same in New York, and it's going to be the same in all these big cities. There's just not going to be that traffic. You can open as much as you want, but no one's going to be there.
The worst, and I mean, that's not the fault. That's not entirely fault of the elected officials if people are afraid to go in. But when we talk to restaurant owners, and I know a few, they just wanted a fighting chance. You know, when you have 25% capacity and you have all these rules.
Can't make money that way.
They can't pay their hell. I mean, you walk by restaurants and you look in, and there are more waiters and waitresses than customers a lot of times. And again, if people are paranoid and they're afraid and they don't want to get sick and they don't want to, that's one thing. But if the government says you can't compete, you can't do business, then you're screwed. Your life is, you know, and Dave Portnoy, Barstool makes this point all the time. He said, he would rather die than lose all he's built.
Right. And he's done a great, what he's done with that fund is unbelievable for people. He's saving lives and businesses and doing that. And I've talked about this a lot. It's the choice to go do that. There's no reason to tell someone they can't do something, right? If you're worried about contracting something, if the workers don't feel comfortable, then don't go, right? But if you feel good enough to go out to a restaurant, you should have that ability. If you feel the ability to open your restaurant and do that, and you're comfortable with that, you need to have that. And to have that taken away based on subjectivity because of certain things, you can be precautious as much as you want, but you still have the right to decide what you want to do. You can't just throw that out there. I really struggled with that. I didn't think it just doesn't sit well. It just doesn't sit well.
It shouldn't. I mean, it's just so un-American, so wrong. And the people making the decisions are just cruel. I say this all the time, but we know Cuomo is cruel. We know, these Governor Whitmer and Baker, they don't care about, the human carnage. They don't care that people like, Chef Mike are losing their life savings, or my friends who own the gym, Alex and Diana, they don't care that they've ruined their lives. It was all a show. It was all, performative. They wanted, they wanted the media, like the Boston Globe. Charlie Baker lives to get, praise from the Boston Globe. He doesn't care. Small business people are just destroyed.
And it was about winning the media. It was, if you win the media with the restrictions that you put in, then you give yourselves that wiggle room where you can do whatever you want. As long as you appease the mob and get them all happy and buying into what you're doing, then you can restrict everything that you want to do.
And the fact is, muted, a lot of people are okay with their motive. They, especially around here,
they were sold. Why wouldn't they?
Hated Trump. And if you don't own by the way, the people praising shutdowns are generally people who don't miss a day of work, don't miss a paycheck. You know, people on CNN, Don Lemon's and Cuomo's, they love it because they don't feel it. you know, Baker and the million hacks. I mean, there was a big story in today in the Boston Herald of the massive overtime that the people that work for the T, the MBTA, are pulling down, even though no one's on the using the T for much of the last 8 months. These people are grabbing it with both hands. They don't feel the pain. The pain is felt in the private sector, and hacks like Charlie Baker and Chris Andrew Cuomo don't care about people in the private sector. They don't even know them. I mean, unless Charlie's making up a story about an imaginary friend, he doesn't have anyone who's affected by it. He makes people up, no question. He makes these tells these stories about friends who are dying of the disease, but that's not true. He just makes them up. But let's get to the schools, because
other thing is, the people that are suffering the most are the people that make under, you know, 50, 60 grand a year. They're the ones that have to go to work. They're the ones that are in, you know, they're the ones that have to either take public transportation or work for public transportation. And they're the ones at risk every day because they're important. They're working in the grocery stores. They're working in all the other essential businesses. Those are the people that have been in stress the biggest amount. And they probably live in tight clustered homes. They're the ones that get the exposure. Like that is the worst part about it. And it gets swept under the rug that you're talking about. You know, it's inconvenient and everything, but the real fact of the matter is those are the people that have suffered the most.
And there was never any science behind much of these measures, like a curfew on restaurants. And I would tweet about this and talk about this. People say, yeah, but they don't want you getting drunk and then people, flirting with other people and then they'll get the disease. And I'm going, what, you're talking about people like 23 years old? Right. 25 years old, 30 years old, they don't care and they shouldn't care. Protecting the elderly was supposed to be the top priority. We know, God knows, Cuomo and Rachel Levine, the lovely Rachel Levine in Pennsylvania, don't care about the elderly. They've shown that. Well, here's how much Charlie Baker in Massachusetts cares about the elderly. He is vaccinating prisoners before he vaccinating the elderly. So people are trapped in nursing homes and assisted living facilities waiting for the chance to get out and see their grandchildren. They get to wait a little longer because murderers and rapists and gangbangers are being vaccinated. And how that doesn't outrage every decent American is beyond me. How that doesn't make you sick that Jared Remy and Stevie Flemmy and Joe Karzarniev are on. He's not here, but you know, the point is they're literally vaccinating murderers before they're vaccinating World War II veterans. It's nauseating. But quickly to the schools, this is one of the good things is they're exposing, the virus has exposed these teachers union people as total frauds who don't give a damn about your children. This is amazing. The Chicago Teachers Union defied an order to return to the classroom over concerns about COVID, setting up a legal showdown. These people demanded that they be put at the front of the list for the vaccine. They were. Mm-hmm. They got it if they wanted it. And then they said, we're still not feel good. We're not going back. They will not go back to do their jobs because they're enjoying their 10-month vacation. They have the power, and they're going to flex their muscles, and they're not going back to work, even after many of them were vaccinated. It's just such a scandal.
Well, we thought it was crazy months ago when we were saying, you know, people aren't going to be going back until they get vaccinated. And you and I are both like, that's impossible. They're not going to do that. And that happened. And now it's not enough until everyone's vaccinated or until we're at herd immunity stuff. Like the things you thought impossible 10 months ago became reality. The fact, like when we were a month or two into this and you're like, all right, until we if we stay home and wear this, the mask and separate, we'll be back in a couple weeks. And then they're saying that, no, we're not coming back till we get a vaccine. We're not going back. And we thought it was ludicrous. And look at where we're at right now. And nothing's going to surprise me anymore at this point. It really doesn't. It's sad.
Just imagine you and I are talking, 8 months ago, and there's someone saying that you're going to have to wear two masks, and you'd be laughing. You're just laughing off, right?
Yeah.
That literally was the directive from the Boston Globe and the New York Times over the weekend.
Who's the new one?
To wear two masks. And I say, why not three? You know, why not four? I mean, what? Two masks. It's just so absurd. And I say this all the time. If you still think, you know, like schools should be, you're either dumb or you're dishonest. Those are the only two options. If you think schools shouldn't be open and kids shouldn't be in school full time, then you're either lying or you're stupid.
I've actually been fortunate. You know, my kids are there, you know, in school. So they're going like there, and we've done a good job in our community. I actually give them a lot of credit for getting them back. The younger ones like go 4 days a week for the mornings, but they're at least in school a good amount of time. And the older ones are in.
That's because you're a rich white guy in the suburbs. Oh, you know, the city, the lockdowns hurt, you know, to quote my congresswoman, brown and black people in vulnerable neighborhoods. Those are who can hurt the most.
I agree.
And they don't care. You haven't figured it out yet. Your mayor doesn't care. Your governor doesn't care. They had a goal. The goal was to unseat the evil orange man. They got rid of him. Now they're like, yeah, okay. If you know someone that, you know, committed suicide or started taking drugs in the last 10 months, those are just, that's collateral damage. It was worth it. That's how important it was to get rid of Trump. That's the price that Charlie Baker and Cuomo and Whitmer and Newsom were willing to pay.
But, if you were to rewind to a year ago today and throw those scenarios out, like, hey, what if this happens? You know, and you just throw like the virus and all those other things onto it. You would have thought it was the most ludicrous thing in the entire world. Never thought it was possible. Never would have thought like we're going to shut down the country for a year. You would have laughed. And well, the fact that it became a reality to me is still mind blowing. Like, my kids are going to talk about this to their kids and their kids' kids that this happened. It's amazing that it's gotten to this.
And you're going to put out of business hundreds of thousands of small businesses, put them out, you know, bankrupt them. And the ones who benefit the most would be Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg and Amazon and Apple and Walmart, and all the big corporations have thrived and crushed. The government has used its power to crush the competition and help the big corporations. It is frightening to think what's happening. By the way, a year ago, tomorrow or Wednesday on this podcast, you and I were talking and I said, Brady's going to Tampa. You said, Brady's going to Dallas. I disagreed, said Brady's going to Tampa. And then a year ago, next month, Joe Biden finished fifth in the New Hampshire primary. I think he finished fourth in Iowa. He was just this bumbling afterthought that no one thought could ever be president. And here we are. It is, you truly at the most amazing 12 months.
I know the fact that got to the fact it got to this, if you would just write it down and look at all the things that have happened, it's astonishing. And I never would have thought it was possible in my lifetime to see the entire country shut down. Legitimately, like it's something that that we would allow the power to just be taken from us, right? To allow our decisions. And we were complicit in it because we thought it was for the greater good. It was told to us that if we do this, don't be selfish, like wear a mask, stay quarantined, do all this other stuff. Everyone, you know, ran to Target to take all the toilet paper in the world. So they're worried about, because they were worried about not having paper towels and toilet paper. And we did it. And we thought it was we'll do it for 2 weeks. We'll do it for a month. And here we are almost a year later and nothing's changed.
Well, nothing's changed.
Brady's in the Super Bowl. I mean,
and you think Trump spearheaded the effort to get a vaccine, and people, I mean, I realize they held the news till after the election, but people voted his ass out, and now, you know, there's all these problems. Well, with
the vaccine. I also thought the funny thing is I had a friend mention this to me, you know, the whole roll out a million vaccines a day to everyone. That was kind of, he told me, like, that was the pace it was already going at while Trump was in office.
Right. It was when Trump was done. He's basically
agreed to kind of keep the status quo.
When Biden was asked about it, he says, yeah, when we said that, you said it wasn't possible. He said to the media, he snapped at the reporter.
Right.
And I go, wasn't possible.
They're already doing it.
They're already doing it.
Right.
It was such a lie. But Will,
I can't wait to see that. He's going to have some good ones. Some good, you know, gaffes of those when he has to go off script, because he's had a couple of them. I'm going to be anxious to
see. Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll be covering them up, and, you know.
It's also funny when you turn on the TV, you don't see the scrolling deaths and cases anymore. Those aren't just the headline news anymore. No, you see, that's funny how that's just gone off.
They don't matter anymore, as we just saw. We're opening up the country despite record deaths, but it was never about the virus. But anyway, Mute, all right, we will talk to you hopefully maybe before the Super Bowl and get your pick, but you're a Chiefs guy.
We'll do some prop bets too.
they can't be stopped. We'll definitely get some prop bets. We already came up with the scumbag factor. I'm going to give the Kansas City has more scumbags, but
how many times they mention in the broadcast, this is Tom Brady's 10th Super Bowl. 50.
we're going to track how many times the media complains about Brady not wearing a mask. That's coming this week. That's going to be wild. It's going to be a wild couple weeks, even though it's not traditional. It's just going to be nuts. It's such a good Super Bowl. It's such a good matchup. I'm looking forward.
Purists will be like, "That's good. We'll focus on the game." On the game.
Obviously, different scenario with Bucks versus Chiefs versus the Patriots being involved. But like you were talking about earlier, Jerry, I think it was in Peter King's article this morning. The point differential between the matchups that Brady and Mahomes have had, 1 point. 1 point, 121 Mahomes, 120 Brady.
That was week 12, 27-24, I believe, week 12.
Yep.
I don't know. It's and you got 2 weeks in this. I mean, I know that Chiefs are going to score, but so is Brady. So is Brady.
What's his name has to have a better game than yesterday, which would be, what was it, Shaq Barrett with the three sacks out of three out of the five good. Sacks? He's going to need six.
Well, that
six.
Was the difference. Like, people want to, that the difference is they had five or six sacks. Like, that was the difference. Their ability to get heat on Rodgers was really the thing that won that game for them. I mean, Brady with the three interceptions didn't help them, but that their defense really bowed up and they were getting to Rodgers, which unlike anything he had gotten this year, because he had been pretty much untouched most of the season. So they did a good job of that.
Yep.
And he'll win the MVP and grouse and complain some more about that call at the end, but he's going nowhere. And by the way, Devin White, 45, the last 2 weeks, I've never seen a guy involved in more plays, a guy sideline to sideline. He made 15 tackles yesterday. The week before, it was something like that. He is
freaking he's an animal.
Everywhere.
So fast.
And he's another one of those. I mean, he'll be – maybe it's – you know, he'll be a factor and they'll find a way to slow down Kansas City. But we got a lot of time to break down and analyze that, Mute. I appreciate
– is everyone – so if you're New England fans, is it 50-50 cheering for Brady? Or is everyone sharing?
No, I think it's more. I would say it's more than 50 rooting for Brady. More than 50% rooting for Brady or against Belichick.
Right.
But I know
argument to be pissed at Brady. Like, who are you from? Where are
traitor.
You from?
What? Oh, he's a traitor. He left the Patriots.
I'm just
telling you that's what the argument is.
When you see him surrounded by weapons down there, you know, he looks so happy. I think it was time. The weather, he said he's never coming back, never going to live in the Northeast again. No. Can you blame him? I'm jealous. I think most people, if I had to guess, I'd say, I don't know, 75% rooting for Brady too, at this point. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's lower. I wouldn't be surprised if it's 50-50. There's a lot of people out there that can't cheer for Tom Brady. Because if you follow any of the Boston writers that try to make, you know, on Twitter, when they make their comments about Brady and cheering for him, and you read the comments section, a lot of them are negative. A lot of them are calling him a traitor and he shouldn't have left. And I can't cheer for him. He's not on my team. So I respect the loyalty for them. You know, you cheer for the team, not the player. But it's kind of hard not to.
He did nothing wrong though. He stayed here for freaking 19 years. I mean, it's unusual. But you know what? We're going to get to the Patriot QB situation another day, because now we got
that's good.
Matt Stafford on the market, and that would be interesting. And we never got to Larry King. We'll do that another day. Larry King,
R.I.P.
will not be coming down from. I can't believe he lived to 87. By the way, the guy used to smoke like four packs a day. He had heart attacks and.
Many wives too. That takes toll too.
Married 8 times. You're right.
Yeah. Think about that.
He had a good run, and in the end, I think the one thing I'd say about Larry King is he was in on the joke. People made fun of him. We made fun of him a lot on the radio. Had some laughs, and he seemed
great. Shit.
You know,
87 years.
Self-deprecating. You're right. Good run. Never. I mean, he was on CNN. He was never political, even though I'm sure he was a good liberal, but. You never knew. You couldn't tell. He made it all about his guests. But we'll talk more about Larry as they lay him to rest. All right, Mute, thank you. And thanks to Shea Concrete and Allied Paving. And thanks to DCU. Thanks to everybody for listening, subscribing, rating, and reviewing. Anything else, Cullinane, what I missed?
What did you think of Conor McGregor over the weekend?
I thought nothing.
You don't see, I know. You hate McGregor.
That ship has sailed.
It's done.
That's a bad.
That photograph of him curled up in a fetal position on the mat was
yeah.
Not a good look for Conor McGregor. I think it's time he's to fight another.
Well, that YouTube guy wanted to offer him $50 million, right? Jake or his brother. Oh, Jake. No, Jake. It is Jake Paul, yeah. $50 million. Then he did some mocking video saying, no, that's $10,000. Yeah.
All right. Thanks. We will leave it there. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is the Callahan Podcast, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.
Why am I stopping? No one else stops.
Can I go home?
The Jerry Callahan Podcast.